3, 2, 1.
I'm Michael Scavola. This is Inside Prison Walls, where we take a look at issues Kansas prisons face and get firsthand accounts of what prison life is like. Produced by the Hutchinson News. The first time I met Michael Hill Jr., I was covering a story at the Reno County Jail. The story was about a woman named Naomi. She was the first person to graduate with her GED through a program offered at the jail, and Hill was the program director. I remember how proud Naomi looked as she posed for a photo holding her diploma and wearing orange jumpsuit and orange sandals. Then Hill told Naomi that he wanted her to help tutor other GED students, and she began to cry. Naomi went back to her cell and asked Hill why he invited her to be a tutor. He told me that a little gesture like that would have such a big impact on someone in her shoes, or better yet, her sandals. And it made me start to think that he knew what it was like to be in her position. We went back to his office and continued to talk, and I noticed on the back wall a few diplomas and certificates of things that he had accomplished in the last few years. And I asked him how he knew that such a small gesture would have such a big impact for Naomi. And that's when he pulled out of his top drawer a printout of his rap sheet with his mugshot on it. At that time, I didn't know that Hill had spent about 12 years in prison. But it was clear the man who was in this mugshot was different than the person that was in front of me that day. A slender black man, just above average height, with a little bit of gray hair. Hill once faced 35 years in prison. He would have still been there until he was 70, had it not been for a technicality. Officers found his DNA and two others in a ski mask he used for a robbery. Hill thinks the other DNA is people who tried on the ski mask and the store he bought it from.
I always thought, you know, well, if I get rid of the evidence, then I'm free. They don't got me. But, you know, the police are very smart. They know what they're doing, and they were able to find all that stuff, and they linked my DNA to that robbery. And there were other people's DNA in that ski mask that I purchased. It threw a hitch in the case, and I was able to be found not guilty based off of technicality. And so when I come back to Reno County to fight my last robbery case, there was two people's DNA, and I thought, well, I got this case beat. I mean, I'm going home. And I truly believe that. It didn't turn out that way. I was offered a plea bargain of 36 months, and I took it. Okay, I don't got to go do 35 years, but I did do this. I'm going to stand up and just say, you know what, I'll take the plea bargain, I'll get this over with, and I'll get on with my life.
He used the robberies to support a drug addiction that started when he was a student at Hutchinson High School.
People in society always say, well, this guy's bad for you, you know. I always try to look at it now, what if I was bad for that guy? You know what I mean? And so I don't necessarily blame anybody in a sense, because I think we all make choices. There are some people that I know that went down the same path that I went, and some of the people that was in that circle went down the right path. So it truly came down to choices. It's almost like the Hulk. It's like it just changes your DNA. I don't care who you are, how you were raised, your family dynamics. If you start using methamphetamines, cocaine, heroin, it changes you from the inside, because that's how it's made. It's made to make you feel good. And so when you're dealing with things inside, internal, it could be anything. You know, for me, I was dealing with the fact that I didn't have a dad, some things with my mother that I never really got to the surface. And then it's because I was self-medicating. You know, I was using that drug to not feel.
But he never wanted anyone to get hurt.
I would never, never intentionally hurt anybody. It's just not my character. I mean, I knew going in that I never wanted to hurt anybody. I didn't want to get hurt. And so there were times that I used fake guns, you know, BB guns and things like that, because I always thought that I could never live with myself if something happened. I would rather something happen to me than to me to hurt someone else.
So Hill was let off for a robbery in one county, and he came back and he had to do 3 years for another robbery that he got charged on here in Reno County. As his sentence winded down, he attended a workshop for people who were about to be released to connect with other resources on the outside.
And so they start bringing in different organizations, different places to talk about resources, what's available for people with felonies and things like that. And Voc Rehab came in, and It caught my attention. They said all the right things, and I'll never forget this, because after that 4 or 5 hour day, I went back to my cell, and my release date was 30 days down the road, and I thought, man, this is a great program. And I was sharing the stuff in the pod with other guys, and they were saying, man, them people ain't going to do that. Man, you're crazy. And I was like, and I felt myself falling to believe that, like, yeah, I might as well forget about that. I released 30 days later, and I thought, you know what? How am I ever going to know if I don't go down there and try? Well, they look at all these scores and tests after you're done being screened or whatever, and it basically it says, nah, you're not going to be a truck driver. Well, how about a barber? They did all the tests and screened. Nah. I says, well, I want to go back to school. I want to be a counselor. And they was like, that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Hill remembered a childhood dream and even telling his mom that when he grew up, he wanted to help other people. Voc Rehab offered to send him to school in Johnson County to be a licensed addiction counselor, but he'd have to leave his mom after a loss in the family.
That was a very, very, very hard time for me, because I was working at Tyson's through a temp service and was making minimum wage, and my mother had went into a deep state of depression, and she wasn't working, and I was the only income coming in, and it hurt my feelings, or hurt me so bad that, you know, I didn't want to leave my mother. This woman is my rock, you know, and I seen that she just lost her mother, my grandmother. How can I leave her? And she set me down and says, baby, you got to go. Mom's going to be all right. And I just took off, and I went to school out there. I couldn't find a job at Burger King, McDonald's, Long John Silver's. No one would hire me. And I remember going to church one day with my little niece, and we went to church one day, and I was down. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do. All I know is that I'm not going to use drugs. And she came to me and grabbed my hand, because she knew, as a young girl, she knew that I was struggling. She grabbed my hand, and she says, I found you a job, Uncle Mikey. And turned out that it was a car wash called VIP, and they needed car wash help. And I thought to myself, man, I do not want to wash cars. But I was humble, man. And I told her, I promise you I'm going to call them. And I called them the next day. It was Monday. I called them. And I went in for an interview. They hired me. Finally, I went to work, man, and $7 an hour. I still owe child support. I think my checks were like $150 every 2 weeks. You know, and it's funny how that worked out, man, because I always had enough money to take care of everything that I needed. I didn't have everything I wanted, but I was able to get gas. I was able to get to school. I was able to eat.
Eventually, Hill came back to Hutchinson, but he had to take odd jobs while he worked on his degree online.
I did find a job. I was at the sports arena picking up trash after the games, pushing a broom at halftime. I was embarrassed, but I was humble. I didn't care, because I know that something was better than nothing for me. Coming from my world of addiction, I know that $7.25 an hour is a lot better than that $1.05 a day they're giving you in prison. And you don't have any freedom. You can't go. At least I got to go home, play with my children. I didn't have to worry about going back to prison. I was content making $7.25 an hour, because I just know where I didn't want to go.
Finally, he took a job closer to what his heart desired. He became a peer mentor at the Substance Abuse Center of Kansas. He then moved on to work in community corrections in Wichita. Until one day, he got a call from Reno County Sheriff Randy Henderson. The two were close. They even rode each other while Hill was incarcerated.
Yeah, there were several times that he would come and knock on my door and call me out and say, you know, man, what are you doing? You're a great kid. He used to come watch me box. I mean, for whatever reason, I'm not saying that he took interest in me alone. I think it's just his character. It's in his nature. He's just a good dude, man. And there was something that he must have seen in me that I didn't see.
Henderson had a vision for the new jail when it opened in August 2015. He wanted more programs to lower recidivism rates, and he wanted Hill to be the program director.
And then he said to me, don't quit your job yet because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. Well, what I found out later is that he went to his staff who had overseen me inside their facility and asked them, how would you feel if I brought this guy on? And I had blessings. I don't get like frustrated or mad at people for trying to save the world, you know, or protect society. I admire that, you know. I just happened to be on the other side of it because of my addiction. And whatever I had coming, I owned it. Now, yeah, no one wants to get caught by the police. But I was that guy, whenever they did catch me, I was compliant. I knew what it was. I knew that I did something, and I knew that I was going to have to pay for it. Did I like it? No. Did I earn it? Yes.
Hill took the job, but he didn't really know where to start. He went and visited community programs that helped him along the way, and he relied on coworkers. But he had a hard time seeing himself as an equal with people who used to supervise him as an inmate.
When I first started working at the jail, I had no clue what I was walking into. The anxiety, the understanding of what was actually going on. I wasn't so much scared of the inmates. It's just the fact that I had trouble separating that I wasn't an inmate. I was staff. And it took me a while to find my way. And thank goodness for the veterans who are down there who know me. I had a Sergeant Ortiz. I know that name means nothing to you, but something she said to me one day in my office, she told me, Michael, you need to quit acting like you're still an inmate. You're staff. You need to act like it. It set the tone for me. I felt like I was being accepted as one of them, not an officer, but a staff member, a team. And that was what allowed me to get over that hurdle of separating myself from an inmate to staff.
Hill still sees himself as a recovering addict, and he fears too much stress could cause a relapse.
Today, for me, I say, hey, I raise my hand and say, somebody listen to me because I got something that I need to say, and if I don't say it, I'm afraid that something's going to happen to me. And what that means to me is that I'm going to relapse. So I've learned to put it out there and share what's going on, how I'm feeling. And I get to take suggestions from 11-year-old, from a 40-year-old, from people that are complete strangers to the people that love me the most. And it all equals out to the same thing. Honey, son, friend, maybe this, if this is what's stressing you, maybe you should put it down for a little bit. And so I've learned to trust others, not just myself.
He took a step back from finishing his degree, but he plans to finish. He's come too far not to. Still, he's been able to check off other feats, like having his record expunged. Now, the only document to his past is the printout he keeps in his top drawer at work.
But when I'm dealing with these guys, and I don't just pull it out every day, but I will get someone in there that has no clue of what's going on, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening. I'm learning how to do that, too. Listening is very key in what, because people always aren't going to be so open to the fact that, well, you think you know everything, Mr. Hill, and I listen. And when they're done, and on severe cases, I will pull that out and say, you know what? I completely understand where you come from. But let me just show you how much I understand. And I put that rap sheet in front of them, and I point out, I did 12 years in prison. So please, don't think I don't understand, because I do. I'm in place to help you. But you have to be open to that. And when they see that, it's a completely different ballgame. And I've learned how to use that. It's not, you got to be careful because it can sometimes become about you. And it truly isn't about me. So I'm not pointing that out every day and saying, hey, look at me, look at me. I'm now the program director. No, it's not about that.
Now at 47, he'll oversee 10 programs with about 20 volunteers, all with the aim to keep people from coming back to jail. He believes in the work he does, but every now and again, he needs a nudge in the right direction.
I was in the sheriff's office one day, and I was complaining about one particular guy, and the sheriff looked at me and says, how many chances did you get? Because I think I said something about, I'm about just done working with this guy. And he looked at me and says, no, no, you're not. How many chances did you get? And it was like a slap in the face, and I liked it. Because it didn't hurt. It was more of me, part of the change that I needed to be effective. I needed to hear that to be effective. And he was right. We don't give up. We stay. You're gonna extend your hand and help that guy. And I love that he told me that, because it kept everything in perspective for me. Not everyone is going to get it, just like you, Michael. You didn't get it. Look how many years. You almost went to do prison for 70, 30-something years. You wouldn't have gotten out till you were 70. Wake up, knock it off, put your hat back on, and go help. That's what you're here for.
Thanks for listening to Inside Prison Walls, a production of the Hutchinson News. We'll visit more insiders, so come back for more episodes. Learn more at hutchnews.com and follow Hutchinson News on Facebook and on Twitter.